Bone some, get some.
How about those friggin' pirates?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it!
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever them are, I can promise you that.
And it's purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina!
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome in to the Sports Objective. In fact, TSO After Dark with us right now, former running back, of course, for East Carolina and high school football coach, well-known in the great Tar Heel State. I'm talking about Brandon Simmons. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about joining and talking some ball. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know that this is the time of year. I was telling a coworker, the big East Carolina fan, this is the hardest time of the year for me because it's like we're so close, but yet we're not 64, I guess, in a few hours, 63 days away from kickoff. And we wanted to have you on tonight, obviously, to talk about high school football. We'll talk about my new high school and their name as revealed last night. We had a reveal for the new mascot and consolidated to one high school in Martin County. So we'll talk about that briefly. And obviously, we'll get your thoughts as well on East Carolina 2024. I'll start off with that first. I told you when we were hitting each other up this week about 2024, I can't believe how excited I am considering we had a 2-10 football season. However, the offseason has been a huge offseason and a huge transformation. I'm not one of those people to hype things up. You and I keep it real, but I just wanted to get your take on what you've seen because you're the expert, not me.
I wouldn't say the expert, but I do pay close attention to ECU football as a whole. So I had a chance to like everybody else, you know, I've been following the recruiting trail, looking at you know, the signees, who's coming back, who's leaving to return it, and all that good stuff. But I also had a chance to go to the spring game, and right. You know, my lens is from the spring game, you know. Without, you know, getting long-winded with it, defensively, the secondary looks very athletic. The linebackers do too, and the defense alignment does as well. You know, for the past few years, the defense, you know, my opinion has been the strong, you know, the highlight of our program. And after the upgrade, you know, with thoughts and philosophies this past offseason, I can definitely say that the offense is definitely going to do their part as well. They were very fast. The tempo was ridiculous. There were a lot of explosive plays, and there were a lot of big game players just making plays. So I'm very excited about what I saw during the spring, and from what I'm seeing videos and photos, they're also having a big summer offseason as well.
Yeah, one of the things that the coaches, as you know, I don't think it'll be as big of a deal, but obviously with NIL and transfer portal for college, it is really, we said it 3 years ago, but it's a free agency now. And, you know, basketball rosters, it's crazy how I'm having to learn like everybody's name almost every single year, where you guys, it's not that long ago and you guys were on the team. So we knew Brandon Simmons all that long. We knew all the guys on there. It's not like 1 year. And they're gone, you know? So, and I know like people transfer, right? But also the fact that we're getting guys now, I don't think the transfer portal has hurt us as bad as people thought it would. I think it's actually helped us and made it more where we can compete at a higher level. That's just my opinion. I don't know about you.
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the years that I was there at ECU, which was the older rules, if you transfer, you had to sit out, and that's just what it was. But athletes still transferred, and athletes still left, and athletes still came. But like you said, you know, the college game is turning more so into the pros. That's just what it is. It's free agency, but it worked both ways. You know, the players are going to rise on the program. You know, so some players are going to stick around, right? That's just what it is. But some players are going to leave for a better opportunity, and that's for all programs. I will say that, you know, our program has done a very good job of doing their homework and bringing in some top flight talent. I mean, all you really have to do is look at the previous college from some of these student athletes. I mean, from Georgia to UCLA, the list goes on and on. So I do think that, you know, the transfer portal does have negatives, but it also brings a lot of positives as well.
Well, a lot of the stuff we save for the show instead of the green room. But when you look at this team, 2-10, and I told you when we were talking during this week, and I think it was today, that how about Phil Steele? Everybody go out and get, you know, it's kind of depressing mm-hmm. when you get a Phil Steele magazine in some of our years. Mm-hmm. But this year, one of the most improved teams. And, you know, you can tell everybody we were 2-10, and some of the models he had, how many wins, Brandon?
Well, like you, I got excited when I first saw that. I said, wow, but Phil still has logic on 10 wins. You know, there's a chance that this Pirate football team could string together 10 wins. Now, we all know in order for that type of stuff to happen, everybody must be healthy. Plays just need to be played. But talent wise, strength of schedule, and just overall adjustments in the offseason, according to Phil Steele, the expert, that is a strong possibility, and he's credible.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, John David Baker, I told you, JDB, as some people are calling him, he's the real deal. And mm-hmm. I know that phrase is used a lot in mm-hmm. sport, but I tell you what, we've had former players of his that's coming to East Carolina. They're saying, I told you, and texting back and forth, 35 to 40 points a game. If we have a mediocre defense, Brandon, 35 to 40, you know, we might win 10 games.
Well, and it's funny that you say that because, again, spring ball, that is a realistic goal. Again, the offense was so fast. I'm an offensive guy, right? So I pay close attention to tempo. I understand slowing it down versus NASCAR, you know, tempo in between. We were very, very fast to the point where if you turn your eyes away and turn back, you miss a big play. Like, it was that fast. And to have, you know, that system from Ole Miss here at ECU, and to have a lot of those players from Ole Miss to come here as well to help implement that system, I'm very excited about the offensive side. Very excited.
No doubt about it. And we all know that, you know, Dave Hart a few years ago when we had the Montgomery area said we had to get football healthy. And we do, because people, we'll talk about the schedule in a little while, future schedules and current schedule. But for me, Brandon, you know, with you guys, I want everybody to understand, including the administration, and they've got some, we'll talk about one thing that we're hearing a rumor. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But as far as scheduling, the reason I'm bringing that up is you guys were playing against not only Conference USA, but you guys had big-time opponents that was a non-conference. We can't help who we're playing in the conference because we're in the conference, but we can help, I've been telling everybody, who we play in the non-conference, and that does matter because I know it's on paper this year, but, man, if we win 10 games, we got a good chance of that thing called the playoff, bro.
We really do, and it's something that I do want – a lot of people to really understand is that at the end of the day, the goal is to play, you know, the toughest possible opponents, right? We get all that. But at the same time, there's a thing called building morale and confidence. And at the, you know, you just mentioned it, during our time, you know, we started off like under the radar, but as we started to pick up some steam with confidence, you know, Coach Holland, Coach Holtz was able to add some heavy hitters to our non-conference schedule. Now, you got to understand that in order to do that, everybody has to be on the same page. Where we're at right now is this. Hey, listen, let's get our program back on track. Let's build some confidence. Let's execute. And then, you know, revisit the schedule at the end of the year. If we need to make any tweaks, so be it. But the goal is just to get in the win column and to build confidence in the process without breaking up your roster.
And that, what were your thoughts? So speaking of future schedules, let's just go ahead and talk about it. So going to Death Valley in 2029, Labor Day 29, what do you think?
I mean, I love it. I mean, anytime, and you know, our program is built on anywhere, anytime, man. Anytime you get a chance to play in front of, you know, the big lights, the TVs, you know, I mean, you accept it. I mean, East Carolina, I mean, that's our mantra. We'll play in a parking lot. We'll play, you know, in a high school field. We'll play in the dirt. It doesn't matter. Anyone at any time. So I'm excited, and you better believe I'll be watching. I'll definitely be watching.
No doubt about it. And we'll just go ahead and mention, we're hearing a game or potentially home and home with Northwestern is a rumor going out there. So some fans may know that, some may not. But how are you? What are your thoughts on that? I really like, you know, when people say it is, I'm trying to be fair to the administration. It is, as you know, it may be even harder on the high school level too now, but with all the conference realignments, I won't get into that. But anyway, the Power Five schools, which I hate that term, Group of Five, I think it's all silly, but there's 133 teams, as you know, in 100, maybe 134, but in FBS, we have people out there that will play us, and we have to just be creative, and maybe a game in Charlotte. You guys know about that, about Charlotte. But yeah, so there's a lot of, for me personally, I'm looking at, when I look at the schedule and I'm saying, okay, Clemson, that fires up the fan base. And you get some of these BYU coming in, NC State coming in. I don't know when the Tar Heels, we can't get the Tar Heels. We beat them three times, so maybe that's why they won't play us, right? But seriously, it's going to take legislation, sadly, from the General Assembly for NC State and North Carolina to play us. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes, because we're willing to play any, like you said, we'll play anybody. We'll play. Duke won't play us. Wake finally came back on the schedule. Obviously, we have Charlotte, and Charlotte is in the conference now. And Appalachian State, they're doing a great job with scheduling with Doug Gillen, their AD. They're going to be playing us on a regular basis, which I really love. There's some of our fans that are just, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to be nice. I'm in a good mood. But Appalachian State is a good rivalry for us. It was big back way before our time. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good football school. Think about Boone. Both fan bases are passionate. So it's like, it's not like nobody cares about football at either school or one or the other. Both fan bases are passionate about football. They sold out of their season tickets again. It's insane.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you just mentioned Northwestern. I mean, I love the fact that we get a chance to play a team that's in a Power Five, Power Four conference, because you know, by playing those teams, it's going to grow our national brand. That's just what right. It is. But anytime that you get a chance to play, you know, like you said, at App State, you know, that rivalry goes way into the Southern Conference, right? Way back in the day. But anytime you get a chance to face off with them, that's a good thing. Last time I checked, their fans were very excited about their program the way ours is, you know. I mean, the only difference between App State and their fans and the ECU and their fans and State and their fans is just the shirt. I mean, you know, I've had a chance to go to an App State game when they're not playing a ECU, and it's crazy. It's insane. I had a chance to go to an NC State game when they're not playing an ECU game, and it's insane. And at the end of the day, you know, our goal is to win against whoever we play. Like, whoever we play, I mean, if we're playing App State, the ultimate goal is to beat them, not to lose, right? And the same goes for NC State or even Northwestern. So I'm very excited about the future of our schedule. I do understand that a lot of our fans are, you know, at times get very frustrated about the opponents that we do play. But at the same time, a lot of them forget about it. Once game day is here, they don't care who we playing. They're just excited about watching Pirate football. And the ultimate goal is to win.
and tailgating in the parking lot, right?
Oh, absolutely. You can't forget about that.
By the way, speaking of, our good friend JR, Johnny Robertson chimes in. He says, "There, Brandon, there is no game on the schedule this season that I want to win more than the App State game."
Absolutely. And you see what I'm saying? Like, this is a great point. I mean, like, you know, I'm in high school, right? And I get a chance to see students go to these schools. And a lot of times, you know, best friends just go to ECU and App State. And anytime that they're facing off, like leading up that week, I mean, they're talking junk and there's a lot of deep ties here in North Carolina. So, I mean, I'm excited about it. That ticket will be a hot ticket, you better believe. And it'll be sweeter, you know, if ECU takes care of business. But both programs are great.
How about that? Our good friend Bubba, I think he's on vacation, parts unknown. I won't say where he is. If that Northwestern series comes to fruition, we'll be playing in their new $800 million stadium that will open in 2026 if it stays on schedule. And he says, think about that. $800 million stadium.
Yeah, LOL. Yes, big time.
Wow. But that's kind of scheduling. You know, some of the people may turn their nose up about the MAC or different conferences, but guess what? There's a lot of great teams in the Sun Belt, a lot of great teams in the MAC. We talk about the Big 12. You know, I mean, somebody mentioned Vandy. Bring Vandy on. We can play with Vandy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Schools and SEC, bring them on.
And you know, the funny part about this is that a lot of people don't even realize, but the Big 12 was at the edge of extinction a few years ago because they wasn't winning bowl games. Some people say, oh, they wasn't playing defense. And now look at them. They're here and the pack is not, you know. So it's like, you know, at the end of the day, you just have to win games. Whoever's on your schedule, you beat them. Continue to win, and then that is how the momentum is built. But just win games, no matter who you play.
Al Davis, for the Raiders, the old owner.
just win, baby.
So that's what we have to, and that's what we have to do. We are, I believe, and people may laugh when I say this, but you being a former player have the inside scoop. But I really believe that we should be a perennial top 25 program. I'm not talking about one of the guys that's going to win the national championship or in the hunt, but we should be a top 25 program. With you look at our facilities, and by the way, that give to the Pirates Unite, our indoor practice facility is $3 million away. Man, they have raised a lot of cash.
Yeah, that's wild.
And I think it's 21 out of 24 million. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, let's get this done. I want Brandon Simmons with a hard hat on. And early, it might be cold outside after football season for high school, and put a hard hat on and let's have the shovel for you former players. But that is going to be talk about that. I do want to get that from the high school perspective as a coach. What does that mean for a program in college to have an indoor practice facility versus not what today's we'll talk about NIL in a minute. But what does that mean for a high school kid? Because I'm 51 years old, man. I don't know about – my kids are close to high school age, but I don't know anything about high school now.
Well, I will say that, you know, having an indoor facility will give any university a competitive advantage as far as recruiting. But on top of that, a indoor facility will really help to grow the summer camps, you know. I mean, for example, everyone knows that it's hot, especially in Greenville. I mean, anyone that goes to the Beast of the East, you kidding me? It is blistering hot out there. The kids don't complain, right? But if we also had an indoor facility as well, that'll make that that event even bigger than what it is. You know, whenever it's raining outside, right? I mean, you know, when I was there and all the former players that went through ECU, when I was there, hey, raining, snow, you still have to practice, right? That it is what it is. But by having an indoor facility, you could take a lot of wear and tear off of your current student athletes. But most importantly, you know, ECU can rent it out. You know, they can rent it out to the community. They can rent it out to the high school programs, to, you know, to the Pop Warner programs, to everybody that's willing to get behind it. You know, so from a recruiting perspective, I do think that the indoor facility will give ECU a competitive advantage, and I can't wait to see it break ground.
No doubt, it's going to be fun. The baseball expansion looks like we're less than a half a million away, something like that. So we're very close. So that's a $7 million project. Wow. That's not like it's $7, you know. It's a lot more than that. But kudos to the Pirate Club. They've been working really hard on that. Let's shift really now to NIL because that's a debate that, you know, we all have because you got, and I'm not talking about me, but you got people like me. I am a season ticket holder for three sports, football, basketball, and baseball. You have the Pirate Club, okay? You have Pirates Unite going on right now, a $60 million aggressive campaign that thankfully they've done a nice job on. And then we have NIL with Team Boneyard, and there's with the 23 Club for baseball. It's a spinoff, like a separate, or not separate, but a spinoff for baseball only, as you probably know. So there are a lot of us that are giving money, and that there's only so many, I mean, there's only so many dollars that you can give. You know, we're giving a lot of my I love movies, but I don't really go to the movies anymore because my entertainment dollars, a lot of them, it's going to East Carolina because I love my Pirates. And instead of being on each show, just talking, talk, I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
Absolutely. Well. So the NIL. You know, it's funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine today. He's a high school coach like myself, and we were just talking about this. And you know, to be honest with you, as a former player, I am happy that all student athletes have the opportunity to earn off of their name. I mean, you know, because again, when I was there, that's automatic. Suspension, lose your eligibility, and the list goes on and on, right? It was very frustrating as a former player. It was very frustrating to, you know, walk into the bookstore and see my jersey with my number on it, right? But I get in trouble if I sell that to put money in my pocket, right? So I am happy that some of the athletes are starting to see some of the share, but I will say that, you know, you have to be careful. They have to be careful. What I hope, and I'll address the economic piece or the logistic piece in one moment. But from the student athlete perspective, I hope that they're doubling up on their financial literacy courses. They're you know, understanding credit, understanding debit, right? That stuff is so important because what I don't want to see happen is a lot of these student athletes, they cash out, they make their money, but they don't graduate. They don't have a degree because, you know, like I know, you know, money is really just a tool, right? It helps you to buy a home and cars and everything else, right? But if you don't manage it, it's just going to all be a dream because you're going to lose everything, you know? So that's the student athlete perspective. But as far as raising money, I do think that ECU is doing a great job of putting their money where their mouth is, like you just said. You know, I mean, I love to see everybody unite to, you know, build this thing from the ground up. And I'm very happy to see that the donors, you know, such as yourself, aren't frustrated about not being able to give more. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to come here and play ECU ball, the goal is Pirates take care of Pirates. We're going to take care of you, right? But if you feel like there's a better opportunity for you out there, you know, we understand business is business, but we're going to only worry about the people that are here, you know. So, you know, I'm happy to see, you know, you guys are getting behind the program. I'm happy to see, you know, the athletes touching something. But most importantly, at the end of the day, as long as the athletes are taking care of their money and as long as they're taking these financial literacy courses, which is so important, you know, we, you know, they should be fine. They should be fine.
You know, that 30 for 30 several years ago with Antoine Walker broke.
Yep.
What was it like, not to get off on a sidebar really fast, but it was something like he made 112 or it was well over $100 million.
Well over.
And he ended up being $4 million broke.
Yep.
And so the kicker was, all right, so, well, I'll say he bought his mom a new home. I said, hey, I would do that for my mom and dad.
I would.
Absolutely. He had like 12 cars. I said, well, I don't know if I have 12 cars, but I can see that because people, I do love cars. So I can see that. I don't own a whole bunch of cars, but I could see how a guy, you know, it's kind of like a guy thing, I think, or maybe some ladies too. But the kicker was he was keeping up, was it 73 people?
Yep.
Like, that's, I mean, that, when you hear the word posse, that's a big posse, man.
So about that, and I'll add a little bit to that, okay? So, you know, when you're taking care of your immediate family, okay, hey, everything is good. I mean, like you just said, if my mother asked for a house, hey, say no problem. But we also understand we have to maintain the taxes on those houses, okay?
Oh, yeah.
There's maintenance, okay? There's all of that, right? Well, when you start getting outside of that immediate family, hey, my cousin, my brother's sister, my aunt's cousin's dog, right? Like, right. Before you know it, more money is leaving your account than going in. And then once that job ends, you know, those liabilities are still popping up. And before you know it, you have to pawn everything just to pay your taxes, because you still have to take care of yourself too. And that is the part that a lot of people don't really talk about. You're one play away from losing it all, right? So I highly recommend that, you know, I highly recommend that any student athlete, anybody, watch that documentary, because that is the reality. And right when you started talking about that, before you even mentioned it, I already knew where you were going, because that documentary made everything into a reality. I'm like, wow, this is insane. I mean, we trip over $1,000. We talking right. About over $100+ million is gone. Come on, man.
Yeah, I was like, you and I right now, even on our worst day, how could it's just but it's that kicker of the 12 cars is not going to make you lose your fortune. No. The buying your mama a really nice house, I don't care how much. Well, obviously, it couldn't be over 100 and some million. But I was like, that just keeping up that many people. And of course, yes. They said, spoiler alerts, if you don't want to hear the ending. When that money is gone, those people were gone. So where are you now for me? And he had like those properties and stuff, but $4 million in the hole is yep. Just amazing when you make a lifetime well over $100 million in the NBA. But that, when you were talking about that, it made me think about also you being a high school guy. I heard in North Carolina, maybe, and I haven't heard, I need to study it more, but maybe, you know, I'm hearing that they're going to try to have more of those classes, like the financial classes in high school, because we didn't have that growing up, and that would have been ginormous. I mean, I remember at East Carolina, my first credit card, they gave us like a 2-liter Coke, and you know, and I have a girlfriend at the time, and I'm going, okay, I can take her out to a nice meal. And I think I had like I was so young, I was like 20, 21 years old, and I think it was a $300 limit. But there was a restaurant, for those old folks watching now for East Carolina, in the Greenville Mall called Annabelle's. And they had that. And I took my, you know, girlfriend, and I thought, and she was impressed with me, you know. And then you don't realize that, hey, I put a brake job on there, you know, like stuff like that. You have to pay that money back.
Yes.
And I think if we had that, that's a small percentage, a small thing. But in the big scope of things, when these guys, we come from working class and middle class families, mm-hmm. We're not used to the $1 million this and the yachts and all that stuff that I guess we get in big spending on our end, but not like that. I would like to think if I earn like $112 million that I wouldn't lose it. Who knows?
Well, so to add on to what you just said, so I am a high school teacher. And I do teach business education, and I do teach accounting. And a requirement in North Carolina is personal finance. Now, it used to be a career technical education course, but now I want to say that it got pushed to the like social studies or humanity. I think they're teaching it now, but it is a requirement. But I will say that more and more of our high school students are signing up for business. They're signing up for accounting. They're signing up for they have to take personal finance, but they are signing up for entrepreneurship because, you know, one of the first questions I ask my students is, hey, listen, why are you here? And they'll tell me straight up, hey, Coach Simmons, I don't know anything about business. I don't know anything about money, but I know that it's important. And, you know, there's a lot of banks out here that are speaking to students, just educating them about, you know, credit versus debit, asset liability, you know, dividends, all that good stuff, right? Like, they're literally coming to our schools and talking to our students. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we still need more students to sign up for these courses, because guess what? In high school, it's free, right? But, you know, like I know, when you graduate, the game is sold and not told. So take full advantage of these of the curriculums, earn these certifications. You know, again, you don't have to major in it if you don't want to, but I do think that you need a baseline to understand what it is that you're getting yourself into.
That's big, because my kids, they're coming up in a few years, they'll be in high school. So I'm going to make sure, I've already been trying to teach them, don't be like your dad. Peter Cook, that they're luring you as a poor college kid. You need to understand that it may seem good now, but you have to pay that stuff back. So
you have to pay it back. Student loans, have to pay it back. Have to pay it back.
Right. Brandon, I do want to say, while we have, we'll come back to our discussion, but our good friend Kyle from LaGrange Barber, that is normally on the show with us, he had surgery today. So people that are wondering, he's doing good. And as James, another good friend of his from the great state of Mississippi, the Magnolia State, he forgive him. He's a really good dude, but he's a Southern Miss guy. We'll forgive him. We'll be nice tonight, because our good friend Kyle from LaGrange, he's doing good, a little sore, but he's recovering at home. And so we're happy. We said a lot of prayers. I've been thinking about him a lot today and found out earlier tonight that he's doing well. So thank you, James, for reminding me to mention that to our good friends in Pirate Nation and the Sports Objective. So thank you very much for that. And I can't wait. He told me he couldn't make it tonight, obviously, but I tell you what, if he could, he would definitely be here. As far as, so let me ask you this question, because we get in debates on this. I think there's an older generation, like older than me, because I'm 51. 3 years ago, I'll tell this story one more time, but so you know where I'm going. 3 years ago, when NIL came out, I was a little upset. Not because, like you were talking about, the name, image, likeness. I'll never forget Dick Vitale. Many years ago, I was watching a Duke game, and they were talking about Grant Hill. And he says, hey, you know, Grant Hill says it bothers him. And I never thought about it. You know, you're like young and you're watching sports. But Grant Hill was talking about going in the bookstore. He sees his name on a jersey on 33, you know. They're selling a lot of Grant Hill, you know, they're winning national championships, and he doesn't get one dime of that. And I never thought about that. That's where I want to say that's 92, 93, something like that, maybe 94, when he was at Duke. Never thought about that. That's the first time I thought about what's now NIL. I have no issues with guys making money, signing autographs. I think the thing that the older generation has a trouble with is, hey, is this pay to play? But I think that's where the NCAA did a terrible job of not getting ahead of it. And so now it's too late. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, as they say. And for me personally, I would like to see more regulations. I think I don't normally like Congress getting involved or General Assembly getting involved, but we've got to have some kind of regulations on it, because it just feels weird that a dude can go to Ohio State, for example. He's never played a down in college football, and he's getting millions of dollars. I have no problem. You know what? I don't have a problem with him getting paid, really, but there's guys that are not working out, and they're already being paid a few million dollars. Then they don't make it. You know, that I don't know. I'm having a hard time with that.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest issue that many athletes are looking at. It sort of kind of reminds us of the unproven rookie quarterback in the NFL, where but you saw they put a limit to that, right? And I want to say that it wasn't Stafford. I think it was the quarterback out of Oklahoma. He was the last one to get the mega cashed out deal without even taking a snap. So I like that. The whole Grant Hill story, that was my take on it as well. I was like, hey, listen, like, you know, we're not asking for everything, but we can get something, because that jersey wouldn't sell if we don't make plays. And that's just a cold, hard truth, right? But I do think that there needs to be more framework, more structure in place. And I do think that is what's going to happen eventually. And I can also see contracts coming to college. Like, that's just what it is. You know, you're especially in the Power Four realm, you're starting to see more and more pro personnel trickling down. You know, I'm pretty sure, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that if you go to University of Alabama, they have pro personnel agents. You know, they're in the front office. They're working through these contracts. And, you know, once that framework is there, I do see a lot of this stuff cleaning up. And it's literally like this. Hey, listen, we're going to pay you this sum right here for a season. At the end of the year, we'll revisit this. This is a yes or no. If you breach the contract, you got to forfeit this. Like, unfortunately, that is what college athletics is starting to turn into. But the only reason why I cite this is because of the colossal TV deals that's being poured into college athletics, you know, and it's just trickling down, you know. But right now it's the Wild Wild West, and unfortunately it is a pay-for-play structure. Like, that's what it is. But all we can do is just, you know, grab the bull by the horn and just try to survive, to be honest.
You know, I was going to say, so that we're at the next week will be 3 years of NIL. Mm-hmm. And that first week that NIL is out,
wow,
I really had to manage myself because I was really upset about it. And I sulked about it, you know, like a little kid for a couple of days. And then I realized, okay, you can be that guy, that old guy, that's stubborn, right, and you get left behind. Or you can be that guy that says, wait a minute, if we start paying our players, that's how we have to win ball games now, is you've got to have – when you hear that term, the Johnnies, the Joes, and you hear that, you got to have the personnel. You know, no matter how great the coach is, if you don't have the players. So one of the things I always told the folks here is teamboneyard.org. Go there and give as much as you can. And like we always say, look, if you can only give, and they will tell you, the guys at Team Boneyard, I met them at the spring game riding up the elevator, and they were shocked that I'm giving $50 a month. That's as much as I can give.
Yeah.
But if you can only give $10 a month, or you can only give a one-time donation of $50, whatever you can give, if you want to go to bowl games, if you want to have all these great, look, when we're at Pirate Nation and we're having a good time tailgating, and then you go to the bowl games and we go to these road games and the bowl games and all that, and the going to the big house last year, it's a lot of fun. And my children now have seen, you know, things that I never saw until I was a little bit older in my teenage years, because of, we played a game in Michigan, you know, mm-hmm. Ann Arbor. And so those games mean a lot. And I think when you look at the scheduling, like we talked about, when you look at the personnel we have coming in, let's talk about a little bit about the 24 season. If you want to talk about scheduling, I'm really excited because you can make an argument, like we're talking about people just joining us, get your feel steel. Brandon and I were talking about the top of the show, that he's got us as one of the most improved teams. Some of his models say, not Dave, so don't be hating on me. I'm like, I'm crazy. I love Phil Steele, and he comes on our show. He's saying 10-2 is some of his models played out that way, and I totally trust him, just like the gentleman we have on the show right now, Brandon Simmons. And I said, like I was telling you, I think at the top or pre-show, I can't believe that I'm excited about a team that was 2-10. However, when you look at all these games, I'm telling you, with JDB, with the guys they have coming in, the O-line coach, they've made a lot of adjustments in offseason. And you and I both know, I don't care what level you are, you win football games and you win games in the quote-unquote, if there is an offseason, no.
Absolutely. And to, you know, to bring back up what you said about Phil Steele, and if, you know, I was like, anytime that it comes out, I get excited. Like, I can't even tell you, like, let me, I want to say it was like last Thursday, and I had no idea that the book didn't even hit North Carolina yet. But right. I went to like four different stores to look for this magazine. I mean, I went to Barnes & Noble, I went to Walmart, I went to Food Line, I went everywhere. And I finally realized that it hasn't dropped yet. Right, in the physical form. So I went ahead and purchased the digital version.
Right.
And the first page I went to was the ECU one. And I read through the quarterback, the running back, the tight end, the O-line, right, the secondary, linebacker, the coaches, the offense, the defense, the special teams. And at the end, like you said, he ran the numbers, and he's been doing this for years. All you got to do is see what he's talking about. Twitter, all that good stuff. Everybody gets so excited about this magazine. But again, the stars align. There's a strong possibility that we can see the resurrection of our program with 9 to 10 wins. And what I like about Phil Steele is that he uses logic. He uses number. He's a data person. He doesn't just throw it out there. It's analytics. He doesn't just throw it out there and say, hey, you know, they're going to lose every game. No. He uses analytics. And the same analytics that he uses for ECU, it's the same analytics that he used for the University of Michigan, for Clemson, for Ohio State, for every team in the country. Every team in the country. So my thing is, if the analytics work for them, then they work for us too. So I'm very excited about what we have coming back this year.
We'll have to get Phil still on. I'll tell Bubba and the guys behind the scenes will work really hard. And thanks, Bubba, for – I know you're on vacation. He helped with overlays, which you see. Brandon Simmons, high school coach and former EC running back, on with us tonight. He did the Bubba did the graphics, and we appreciate that very much. So when we're talking about the schedule, you look at the – when you look at that non-conference, I'm not knocking any of those teams, because we all know that any given Sunday, any given Saturday, Friday night, we can lose. We can win, we can lose. There's always a chance, one or the other. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you look at that non-conference? You can make an argument. I'm going 3-1 on non-conference. I really do. I think the question will be for me, I really like the obviously, our chances, no disrespect to Norfolk State, but I feel like that that has a good chance of a win. When you look at the second game, having Old Dominion on the road, they were a bowl team. I'm not knocking them, but I really believe I just have a good feeling about this schedule. I don't know why. I normally am more – I'm going to still say 7-5. I'm going to be more conservative than Phil Steele. I will say that it's not a struggle to get to 10 wins. I can see where even somebody like me that's not an analytics guy, this dude was an analytics guy before it was cool with Phil Steele. And so when you look at that, the second game of the year, Old Dominion on the road, I like that one. I tell you the games that I'm struggling with is the Appalachian State and Liberty. I think we win one of those two.
Me too.
I think we'll be. I really believe we'll be 3-1 coming out of non-conference, and then when you look at our, then the scheduling gods was nice to us, because you don't have Memphis or Tulane on the schedule if you look at it. And I'm not knocking any of these teams, okay? So I don't want to sound like, because UTSA, I think they're going to be good. Charlotte has beat us, which is ridiculous, but hey, we're going to Charlotte this year. And Pirate Nation, there's going to be a lot of purple in Charlotte, I can tell you that. And I'm looking forward to that game. This is the first year, Brandon, that I have gone to multiple away games. And a lot of them are within driving. I'm looking at the Army game. Mm-hmm. It's a bucket list item, just like the Big House. But we've got a lot of games on the schedule that are winnable games. And I know people could say, Dave, they're 50-50. And like you and I said, you can win those games, you can lose those games, but injuries obviously are huge in football. And you talked about one thing that's very important, execution. You know, Brandon Simmons can draw plays up better than most. But those guys have, and I was talking to my kids about this, those kids have to go out and execute the plays. It doesn't matter how great your coach is, you have to execute the plays. You could be Nick Saban could be your high school coach, but if he doesn't have the talent and or they don't execute the plays, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly looking at his schedule and about the execution, like you said, the pre-conference, Norfolk, you know, we host them and then we're on the road at ODU. Again, that's an up and coming program. At State and Liberty, you know, like you, it's like, whoa, okay, all right. But I do think that if we can figure out a way to, you know, get App State at Greenville, that could give us the momentum to possibly go to Liberty, which will be a tough game on the road. UTSA, UTSA, I want to say, didn't they have like some coaching turnover? I know they have been very explosive, especially offensively, but don't they have a new coaching staff over there?
I believe that's right. I'll have to look
okay,
it up.
Okay, yeah, I think they do. I think they have a new coaching staff, so you know, they will be adjusted there. But again, they have to come to ECU, so that's friendly. The Charlotte game, that's like a home game, right? Army, you know, that is, you know, that's a dicey one, tough one. It's a winnable one, but it's tough because anytime you face the service academies, I mean, you know what comes along with that, a triple option and all that good stuff. Temple, you know, they seem to be trying to turn things around. I do know that they took a step back a few years. You know, Atlantic, you know, like us, you know, up and coming. Tulsa is going to be Tulsa. North Texas. Now, I will say the last piece of the season, fatigue tends to set in. Okay, so we go to North Texas. You know, we go to Tulane. Okay, Tulsa. That's Oklahoma. North Texas. That's Texas, obviously. So that's back-to-back road games. Again,
stay out there, right?
Yeah, you might as well stay out there, man.
Don't come home.
Yeah, don't come home. Save some sleep, right? And then lastly, we do host Navy, which helps us out because if we were going to Navy, that would be even harder than what it is. So, you know, like you said, I do see a lot of, you know, winnable games, but a lot will be said once we will be able to see what we have after game four. After game four, we'll know where we stand, and you know, we'll have a better understanding of what's next after that.
And I'm not trying to look way too ahead, but you and I are not in the coaching staff, so we can. But you know what? If we win if we go 10-2 in the regular season, that December game, that championship,
I'm going. I'll be there.
I tell you what, if we're 10-2, we're mostly going to be like you guys. You hosted a championship game, right, for Conference USA?
So I didn't hope. So I missed that game, but I did go to Tulsa. Tulsa, right. They had the higher seed, so we had to go there and beat them on the road. But I was at the game when we host Houston, and there's nothing like hosting a big time game. I mean, you kidding me? Sold out.
That was big time. Two conference championships back to back. It's time for us to win a conference championship.
It is.
You guys, I don't want y'all to be the last ones to win a conference championship, and I know you don't want to as well. We're going to pass the torch to the next team.
And that's okay.
2024.
That's okay.
Right?
What's that?
So y'all have had a nice reign of where
I mean, it's pretty cool to the you know, still, you know, look at the ring from time to time or go to Greenville and see, you know, the banner up there and to reminisce and reflect on those good times. But you know, I'm also a high school coach and I believe that a tradition never graduates. And you know, I do want to see ECU do well. I watch every single game, win or lose. And if this is a championship level team, I'm excited. Like I'm excited, you know, because I do want to see the Pirates do well, you know. So I'm excited about the opportunity. And you know, I just hope the boys are as excited as we are about Pirate football.
Well, I can tell you one thing, people listening and watching right now, we're June 28th at 10:20 live right now, and there's a lot of people watching because it's Brandon Simmons, okay? It's not about me. But I tell you what, that tells you how much this fan base means because it's so awesome. We've been doing this show for over 6 years now. You're one of the—
Congratulations, by the way.
Over 1,000 episodes. Brandon was with us, one of the first players to ever come on our show. So I appreciate the friendship. It's been great to get to know. When it's cool when we were talking about the earlier about having like the NIL and transfer portal and all that, you know, the changes that I made. One of the things I miss is the players. You get to know them. It's almost like, I know it sounds corny, but like family. And now it's kind of like, oh, he's gone. Oh man. But I do think that when we build this program back to where it should be and can be, that a lot of those guys will stay. And I will say to the folks again, I don't get one penny from Team Boneyard, the Pirate Club, any of that. I just give out of my heart. And I want to see, I'm very competitive, like the man on the screen with me and people listening, our guest, Brandon Simmons, former running back for East Carolina. We want to win. I want to win 12 football games, but, you know, call me greedy. But I know the reality is Pirate football is 7, 8, 9 wins. That's where we are. That's who we are. However, I will say that Coach Houston, the people that are not on, that fell off the bandwagon, I'm going to go ahead and get you back on that bandwagon, because I'm telling you guys, that guy is more competitive than Brandon, Kyle from the McGrange, myself, Bubba, Matt Semenza, all of us combined. And I do believe that John David Baker, when I saw that hire, I said, okay. I was a little concerned, like a lot of people. But anyway, I did want to talk before we go. We've kept you a long time. I do want to talk about high school football. That's very important to me before we get you out of here. I appreciate you've been very busy this week, and I know you've got a lot going on, 7-on-7s and all that. I did want to say one thing real quick. My high school, I told you in the green room pre-show, that they announced last night, Martin County High School, we've consolidated to one high school, and we are the Gators now. So go Gators. So there is no, and I will say this, if you can, I shouldn't do this because there'll probably be one, but if you can find me, I tell you what, if you can find me a Gator in Martin County, I'll give you a t-shirt.
Sports oh, wow.
Because I don't think there is one. I do think the logos I've seen are very cool. I do like the fact. So we play in the swamp because it's like down in a valley. So that'll nice. Be cool. The Gators in the swamp. So
nice.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. But just want to get your take on. I don't know if you know our new coach Hunter Jinks.
I do,
from the Triangle area, Eastdown. So just want to get your thoughts before we talk about you. What's Coach Jinks like? I like what I see so far, but you know him pretty well, huh?
So I've up until this past February, I've heard nothing but good things about Coach Jinks. He has some time in Clayton. You know, he played his high school ball at Wake Forest. He played at Elon. But he is a very well put together coach. I had a chance to sit through a few of his coaching clinics this past offseason. And I was very impressed. Matter of fact, I was so impressed to the point where, me being an offensive guy, I reached out to him directly, asking him a little bit more information about some of the things that they're doing or plan to do. But Coach Jinks, and then I had a chance to speak with him at NC State. Anytime that, you know, us coaches are on college campuses, the first thing we try to do is, well, for one, get our guys going, but for two, communicate with any of our brothers or sisters in the coaching ranks. But Martin County, home run hire, Coach Jinks is fantastic. He's very detailed. He's very enthusiastic about helping young people, and he is definitely doing it the right way. So I'll definitely be following his program. Again, home run hire. He's earned his bones here in the Triangle, and get behind the program because he's a very good coach. I like Coach Jinks.
And, you know, when you're in a small town, there's nothing else to do but to go to sports.
Go to the game.
Friday Night Lights, baby. So we're looking forward to that. In fact, the season's just around the corner. Let's talk about you. Tell everybody where you are now. Obviously, I follow you on social media, so I have an idea, but I want people in Pirate Nation to know, and people that are trying to go, I would love for them to go to your games and get behind your team.
Well, absolutely. So I'm currently – so I teach and coach at Southeast Raleigh. I'm high school in Raleigh, the southeast portion of Wake County. This will be my second year there. I'm very excited about being there. I'm an offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, but I also work with, you know, any position my head football coach wants me to work with. My head football coach is Edwin Campbell. He's doing a great job of leading the program, and I'm very excited about contributing. I also contribute with recruiting, and we have a lot of great young men, and our coaching staff is fantastic. You know, we all get along, we work hard, and we're very excited about this upcoming season.
And obviously, for a sidebar really quick, speaking of recruiting, you told me, you gave me the scoop, and we did the guys on the Sports Objective. You told me how good Tyler Snead was. Remember that a few years back?
I sure did.
You gave us fair warning. This kid works hard. He's very special. And he was kind of like a Wes Welker guy. So he's a guy. What are some of the other guys that people may know? I know you have him go more than, unfortunately, more than East Carolina, but I know it has to be the right fit. And obviously not every kid can play for us. So there, we want what's best for the kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So the whole Tyler Snead story, just to give you guys the synopsis, I had a chance to work with Tyler during my years at Millbrook High School. At that time, I was a special teams coordinator, quarterback coach, but also worked closely with the receivers as well. He was my deep return guy on kickoff and punt return. All I had to do at practice was see him return the ball one time. And I said, hey, listen, he needs to return the ball for our special team. So to see him, what he did in high school, time after time after time, to see him do the same thing at ECU, I wasn't surprised at all, because I used to see it all the time at practice. You know, his family is great. You know, his sisters are all athletic, mother, father, they're very supportive. And I was very excited to see him win a Grey Cup, you know, up there in Canada. So he's coming off an injury, which is the first time he's ever, you know, banged up, you know, anything on his body. But I'm very excited about his career. And, you know, I have nothing but great things to say about him, you know. But as far as this area here, I mean, even on our team, and we have quite a few, you know, up and coming athletes. You know, we have some solid offensive linemen, wide receivers, defensive backs. We have a full gambit of talented student athletes. And you know, our goal is to, you know, when East Carolina comes in our area, our goal is to put our guys in front of, you know, ECU coaches and college coaches to give them an opportunity to compete on the next level. You know, so, you know, we've got a lot of young student athletes, you know, they're serious about their academics, and we're excited about a lot of their futures beyond Southeast Raleigh High School.
I know you can't talk about names, obviously, so, but are there guys right now? Can you tell us, is there a guy or two right now being recruited by East Carolina? Can you be generic like that?
So at this moment, so only East Carolina knows who's on their board, but we do have a few athletes that are picking up a lot of attention. We have a rising junior edge rusher that's picking up a lot of steam. You know, we have, you know, a senior running back that's picking up some steam. We have a sophomore running back or athlete that's picking up some steam. You know, we have a senior lineman that's picking up some steam. So I do think that after maybe game four, game five, we'll have a better clarity on if, you know, if ECU is at the party, we'll have a better understanding there. But I do know that we do plan to send a few players to some home games to, you know, experience Pirate Nation and to hopefully earn a scholarship.
That would be great. In fact, we talk about all the different former players, but man, we've got so many great former Pirate players, definitely across the state, but other places. I'll tell you what, I call it the pipeline. We can get that triangle pipeline.
That's it. Come on.
Yeah, up north, definitely. We had some guys back in the day in my era from Jersey, like Matt Semendez, one of the co-hosts of the show. Scott Harley, of course, back in the 90s. But that area up there, man, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, the Rust Belt, as we call it, man, there's a lot of great football. And I think there's a lot of great players that we need to I think that recruiting, I'm not sure if we have anybody recruiting up there, but I miss that because I believe there's a lot of players that we're missing out on. We're not the only ones, but I think there's a lot of great players being missed. And I guess that's another thing too, that's sad. One final question about high school for you. Have you seen with the transfer portal, we've had some people, and I won't say their names because I didn't ask them to ask it on, you know, on a show. They said if it were them, they would only recruit transfer portal. They would just focus on the transfer portal. I understand some of that, but I believe you don't want to, I hate to use a cliche, but put all your eggs in one basket, because I believe there's a lot of high school talent that maybe will help us, because if these big time programs are just focusing on the transfer portal, there's a lot of guys that are like, wait a minute, I'm a 3-star, 4-star guy. and I don't have anywhere to play. Hey, East Carolina, I'll come and give you guys a shot when maybe they wouldn't give us a shot before because the big boys would be coming after them.
Yeah, so you bring up a great point. And you know, I do work closely with recruiting, and I do get a chance to ask very direct questions, and sometimes coaches just share, you know what they're thinking about. I mean, but I've heard some coaches tell me or us directly, hey, listen, you know, you mean you guys look good, but right now we're only recruiting portal kids. And that's just the reality of it. But on the other hand, a number of coaches would tell us, hey, listen, we only want high school kids because in their eyes, you know, high school kids, you can build your program from high school kids. So you know, as far as recruiting, the best way to describe it is that it's very abstract because trends are always changing. Coaches, what they're looking for is always changing. Just to be honest, if a coach is on a hot seat, he's probably not going to recruit high school kids. That's just the reality because high school kids need to be developed. You know, quick fix, hey, I'm going to hit up the portal and hope to get this thing right, you know. Now, the positive about going portal route is that, more often than not, the athletes are developed physically, okay? But the downside is they all come from different backgrounds. So you have to try to figure out a way to get them to play together as one. And that process might take a little bit longer than usual, you know. But the high school kids, you can build them from the ground up. But physically, they might not be ready to play immediately. Okay, skill guys, running backs, receivers, defensive backs, okay, they can play. But linemen, offensive and defensive linemen, the likelihood of them playing their first year is pretty slim because of the strength difference in the college game. So I've heard coaches tell me directly, hey, love your kids, but we only want portal guys. We respect it because we're not wasting their time. They're not wasting ours. But I also heard coaches tell me or us specifically, hey, we like high school kids. We only want to recruit high school kids. We want to develop high school kids, you know. And a lot of talent is trickling down. That's basically what's happening. So now a Division I Power 5 kid is going to slide down to an FCS or a G5, maybe a Division II, right? A Division II kid is going to slide down to a NAIA or Division III. Like, that's all that's happening. The talent is just trickling down, and all divisions of football is getting better because of it.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see, and I hope we can get you back on before the season starts or maybe the week of, because enjoy the time with you each time, and a lot of great insights. Anything before we go, do you have a great movie you've watched recently, a series that I've been – we always ask that in summertime when we have not a lot to talk about. Is there something you're binge-watching now?
Oh, man. Right now I'm working on The Bear. The Bear. I'm working on The Bear. The series is through FX. Mm-hmm. At the halfway point of season 2, season 3 just dropped. So I'm working on that. Fantastic show. Highly recommend you check that out. Mayor of Kingstown. That's another great one. That is on Paramount. That's pretty good as well. From the same director of Yellowstone, Tyler Sheridan. Fantastic. Yeah. So currently I'm working on The Bear. And then lastly, I'm also playing my video games. Right now I'm working on Resident Evil 4 on the PlayStation 5.
All right.
Because NCAA is getting ready to come out. And
yeah.
I want to go ahead and beat the game before that comes out. So that's currently what I'm working on when I'm not at practice.
I got one for you on Netflix. I just binge watched it in a week. The what is it called? It's Ken Golden Collectibles. I love that. Even though I don't know what it is, but like I love like collectibles, but I don't have the room for the stuff. So like if I ever get my barn, which I want in my backyard, you know, like have like a little bar and a whole bunch of TVs and stuff, then maybe I can get some collectibles for there. But I would rather for it to be like mostly, of course, my Pirates. I know I'm biased, but East Carolina stuff. One final thing. If you had, because I watched that, is there like a holy grail? Is there an item that you had at one time your playing career, or maybe something, a game ball or something that you would like from your career? Or there is there a time period of something that you would want from a player before you or after you that would mean a lot?
Probably my sophomore playbook at ECU. As a play designer, I find myself doing a lot of researching and drawing plays and watching film and making adjustments. But, you know, if I could have that one item, I would say my sophomore playbook at ECU. I don't know where it's at. I think it's at my mother's house, but I need to find it. But if I could find that, man, whew, life would be so great.
And any was there any cool swag you had at the bowl games?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Favorite, and I'll let you, I promise.
Yeah, like so the cool part about the bowl game, that's something else. Like, you know, guys are sitting on the bowl games. I'm like, man, what are you doing? But you know, watches, you know, the bowl game watches were cool. The bowl game sweat tops were cool. The tennis shoes were great. So I mean, the money, like, you know, the money was what it was. That stuff is gone. But a lot of the memorabilia was awesome. I mean, I remember my junior year when we went to the Hawaii Bowl. A gift that I gave to my mother was I bought a ball, like a Hawaii ball, right, that had a logo on it. And I got all the team members to sign it, right? They all signed it. And I bought like a jewel case and everything like that. And I gave my mother that. And that is still in my mother's living room right now. Those signatures, and I remember when we got that done. So, you know, but I mean, just the memorabilia, all that stuff is just, you know, out of this world. It has unlimited value. I still have it. I still look at it, and that's the stuff that I truly appreciate. You know,
no doubt, it's been great. In fact, a couple more comments, real quick, from the audience. James says he's going to say the EC finishes 8-4 with a shot at 9 in the bowl game. I can respect that. I can see that. It's not unreasonable this year. And JR, Johnny Robertson, says good luck to the Bulldogs this upcoming season, coach.
Absolutely. Come on out. If you're in Raleigh, come on out. Anybody, if you're in the Raleigh area or not in the Raleigh area, come out and see us.
Be a lot of great. Anything before we let you go, my friend? Thank you so much for the time tonight. And like they said, good luck. And we're hoping that Martin County has a great year. Your Bulldogs have a great year. And of course, you and I together, the Pirates, we got to go bowling.
Absolutely. And like usual, you know, I'm very excited about Martin County's future. Again, Coach Jinx, you know, he's going to do a great job. So I'm very excited about the direction of that program. You know, as far as our football season, you know, goes, you know, we're getting ready to take a dead week. In high school, you have to take dead weeks, mandatory dead weeks. And as soon as we come back, you know, we're going to be, you know, working on some things. But August 1st is the first official day of high school football. And we're excited about both our JV and varsity programs this year. Again, we have a lot of hardworking young men and hardworking coaches. And then lastly, like you said about ECU, you know, the goal is to get this thing turned around and to get back on TV, and just, you know, like spotlight games and go to a bowl game, because that's always a highlight. I don't care where they're playing at. If we got a bowl game, we're going to figure out a way to get there.
Sounds great. How can people follow you on social media?
Oh, so you can follow me on social media at Coach B Simmons. You know, that's my coach's page. And then my personal page is B Simmons at 25. You can follow me any of those pages. I spend a lot of time on social media, primarily just, you know, sharing information, you know, following what's going on, watching videos and that type of thing. For me, it's more so entertainment and educational. So give me a follow and I'll definitely follow you back.
Great time tonight. And of course, people will follow they'll watch the show. 64 days left before, soon to be 63 by the time we, about an hour from now, from kickoff, August 31st. Can't wait. And you guys start, is it the 19th? Is that right? The night or 12th or 19th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, I believe that's right. So good luck to you guys. I can't wait. And we'll have you back right before the season starts.
We absolutely
about how your season's going for your Bulldogs. Thanks so much and good night. And we'll talk to you in a few weeks. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Much appreciated. Y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.